And good evening, and thanks for tuning in to Live and Local, the newest locally produced show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm Susie Prez, and I'll be your host each Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Live and Local offers an opportunity for local musicians to come together to share their own music, play some of their tunes here live in the KRFY studio for your listening pleasure. And I'm very excited about our guest tonight. We have Beth Peterson. Good evening, Beth.
Hello. It's nice to be here.
It's really nice to have you here. And Betsy Hammett, here with Three Auto Harps. Good evening, Betsy.
Good evening.
And we have a lot of music planned. You have 6 to 7 songs.
Yes, we do.
And that will be really nice. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about who we are. So, Beth, you're... I like to say, Beth, you're one of the Sandpoint treasures, and I think it's true. So you've been playing music a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you start?
In Sandpoint?
In your life.
In my life. Ah. Well, I played the ukulele in the third grade on stage, and I was terrified.
And what happened?
Oh, well, it was okay. I did it. Anyway, then I started playing in junior high and high school and learning the guitar and learning songs.
So when did you start? I know you write beautiful music, and when did you start writing music and really performing? Because you're not just kind of in the house writing songs. You are a performer.
Right, and I haven't written a lot of songs. But I started writing more in the last 8 or 10 years. I don't count the songs I wrote in high school and beyond, you know.
Okay. And what was your experience? I know you met Cindy, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you realized you had this amazing ability to sing songs together.
Yeah, there was just a connection there that worked beautifully, and we thought we should be doing this, so...
And that you were pretty young. I mean, it was years ago.
20s, yeah.
In your 20s. And after that, it just kind of took off. You played more regionally, I would say.
Well, when we were on the road, we played in Colorado and up the Washington coast in California and Alaska. and we went one trip to New Orleans. That was the furthest away from home.
And that was really fun.
It was really fun. Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
And people, I remember hearing you when the Waldorf School first started. I think that was the first time I heard you. You played at our Christmas fair over at the community center. Mm-hmm. And I was just blown away by the songs and just the harmonies, I think. Mm-hmm. There's something about those two voices together. And Betsy Hammett, I always think of you as having a guitar in your hand. But in the last few years, you've taken up the auto harp. Tell us a little bit about how that came about and how it lives. What is the auto harp, really?
Well, auto harp is sort of akin to the zither, and it's got 37 strings. And it also has chord bars, and you depress the chord bar that you want to play. And there's a series of notches in each felt under the chord bar. And the notches allow the strings, the notes that you want to play, to sound. And every other note is muted. So
it's a kind of opposite of a guitar.
It is.
In a sense.
It is. And I first picked up the auto harp about 25 years ago and really liked it. I borrowed it from a friend, and then I had to give it back. And... fast forward about 20 years ago, I got put in touch with someone who makes really fine auto harps. And so I've had him make some. It's George Orthy in Pennsylvania.
So these are kind of special. Is he well known around the country as the auto harp?
He has been. He's well into his 80s by now. So I think he's apprenticed a few people in his shop.
Mm-hmm.
But... he's made them for Brian Bowers and the Carter family. And
that's pretty famous.
Yeah.
39 strings, you said, or 37?
37.
37.
Yeah.
So is that why you have three different auto harps here in the studio tonight?
I have three because one of them is a chromatic, which will play many different keys, and the other two are diatonic, which are limited in the number of keys that they play, but they give a fuller sound because some of the notes are doubled.
And it's no easy task to keep them in tune or to tune them in the first place and then hope they stay in tune.
We like technology. Electronic tuners are a must.
And you've been here since 5 o'clock tuning?
Yes.
So every time you take them out of the building or into the cool, cold air, they kind of go their own way?
I think it's more of a humidity difference than temperature difference. So.
Well, it's a beautiful instrument, as guitars are, and we have a nice, beautiful Taylor here that Beth has been carrying around for years, and these auto harps. Maybe it's time to hear a song, but it would be really nice to hear how this song came about, who wrote it, and a little bit of background of that there might be some background to the song.
Yes. Well, this song is called Emery's Waltz, and when she was about 3 years old, I thought I should write a song before she grows up, before our very eyes. And so that's how it came about. And
she's your granddaughter?
Yes. Okay. Emery Elizabeth Borup Fayen. She has a whole bunch of names for herself, but I can't remember them all.
So this is Emery's Waltz?
Yes. I'm going to start over. Thank you.
kiss from wherever you are, and we'll dance to sweet Hillary's waltz. We'll go whirling and twirling and spinning around as we dance to sweet Hillary's waltz.
Absolutely beautiful. And what a lucky little girl Emery is to have a grandmother write her a song like that. She'll always have that to carry with her wherever she goes in the world. It's like a little cloak of security and safety. Beautiful, Beth.
Thank you.
Emery's Waltz with Beth Peterson and Betsy Hammett here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY. And this is the Live and Local show. And thanks for tuning in. We have, we're going to spend the next hour up to 8 o'clock really exploring music with Beth and Betsy. And Betsy, let's go over back to you for a moment. I was thinking about the auto harp, and Beth, you can tune in on this too, or chime in. How does that work? You know, you've always played with other guitarists. Mm-hmm. And how is it, and Betsy, how do you see the auto harp fitting in this kind of venue or a...
I've mostly played the auto harp with old-time fiddle or mandolin. And the auto harp is sort of, I think, kind of a little layer that sort of fits right in between a guitar and a mandolin. And I think they're very complementary.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
And it has such a full, it fills in all the gaps and it's a warm feeling. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's a good description, kind of a warm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice when you were picking up the notes and it kind of changed from just the harmonic sound to actually pulling in some of the notes.
Yeah, she can make some noise on that thing. Yeah.
You've been going up to Sorrento these last few summers. And do they have a class in auto harp?
They don't. In fact, until last summer, I was always the only one that had any auto harps.
So are more people showing up with them?
Finally, another person also brought one, but they haven't had any classes yet.
An auto harp comrade. You can go over in the corner and talk about tuning and how to do it.
That's
faster.
Right.
And when you talk about playing mandolin, you're probably mentioning Brady.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And fiddle with all those folks.
Yeah.
You've started playing together. What brought that on? How did that kind of come about?
Well, I arrange for special music at the Gardenia Center on Sunday mornings. And so I asked Betsy to come and play, and she's done it several times, and several times with Brady as well. And then I thought, wow, wouldn't it be fun to do some songs together? And so that's what we did. We've done one Sunday service, right?
That's correct, yes.
And we have another one coming up here sometime in February, yeah. So, and then to have this opportunity, it was great for us to have time to really work on.
Mm-hmm. Gives you a reason.
Yes, yes.
So that's why you called up and said, we want to be on. And I was like, that's great. So thanks for doing that and coming on the show. Beth, normally you're playing with... Do you still play with Bruce Bishop?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so that's a little more jazzy, folk-oriented.
I mean, jazzy, bluesy.
Jazzy, bluesy.
Mm-hmm.
And so then this is more the folk.
Yeah,
sound.
But he puts his own touch to these very same songs.
Okay.
And it's been an interesting learning curve for him.
Mm-hmm. So he plays with the three of you?
No.
Or the two of you?
Too? No.
Okay.
No, but he hasn't yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
The jazz auto harp is coming up, Betsy. Get ready to find those other chords, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. And do you have anything besides you're going to play at the Gardenia Center coming up and you're doing this? And do you think you'll kind of take the show on the road?
Well, I don't know. If we have opportunity to play again, we will, you know, mm-hmm. because it's been really fun.
Oh, good.
Putting it all together.
And when did you start playing together?
What, for this gig?
No, well, just trying it out. Like you said, you've played at the Gardenia Center.
Yeah,
and then
maybe last year. Was it last year?
October.
So
yeah, yeah.
It's always nice to have a reason to practice mm-hmm. with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I end up doing a lot of practicing, it's not so much for the show that's coming up. It's really just we love to practice.
Yeah.
It's really fun. maybe it's time for another song, and if you can introduce that.
Okay. I'm going to do one of Cindy's songs. It's called Southern Girl. And she wrote this shortly after we moved here. And I think she wrote it for our friend Deanne Louise Brookings Waterous.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to send this song out tonight to my dear friend, Gail Finley, Velma Queen of Fun. She's down south, and this is a song about Southern girls.
Yeah, she's down there in Atlanta.
Yeah. Well, LJ, I think it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
anyway, this one's for you, Velma. I can still see their faces in the firelight, laughing and clowning in the glow. I can hear their voices singing by the river. It's a sweet song I'm sure I'll ever know. So let the lights burn down south
thank you. That was stunning. Southern Girl, written by Cindy Borup.
Yes.
Dear Cindy. And that was a send out to Gail Findlay.
That's right.
And I'm going to email her or tell her that she can listen to this whole show on our podcast on krfy.org and tell her there's something special about 20 minutes into the song just for her, Miss Southern Girl. And that was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I'm really getting the auto harp. It's very percussive. It's got a lot of percussion to
it.
Yes,
it can be.
Yeah. I think the way you play it, it's beautiful. And you just switched to a different one?
I did.
Uh-huh. And how is this different than the one you just were playing?
It plays in fewer keys, but because some of the notes are doubled, it gives an even richer, fuller sound than that one,
That's big.
I just played.
It's a bigger sound.
Yeah.
Okay. And why would you want that over the other one?
Well, the chromatic, because it plays in so many keys, it has chords available that aren't available on this one. So like we were playing in G in that last song, but there was an A7 thrown in, and I'm kind of missing that
on this one.
Yes.
So it's a little limited, but with a bigger sound.
Exactly.
And so what can you do on this one? I mean, play in any key still.
I can play in
but not
mostly
maybe the off chords.
G and D.
Okay. So can you get a C chord on that?
I can get a C chord because it's part of the 1-4-5.
So you're pretty much limited to the 1-4-5.
Okay. I've got some color chords.
Uh-huh. And you probably have learned to make it work for what you want. Okay.
Well,
what do you want to do, Beth? This is your show.
Yours and Beth's. We're going to do a song that I wrote the music for, and then Charlie, my dear Charlie, helped me finish up the lyrics on this one. And so this one goes out to Charlie tonight.
And the name of it is?
Somewhere Stars Are Falling.
Pretty.
Chances are I'll never hold you in my arms. Chances are I'll so many years, all those miles between. Somewhere stars have fallen. How sweet it is when love comes calling. In my dreams, I hear you calling me. Prince Charming, never had a thing on you. Every time you do, I fall helplessly in love with you. across the room, I see your face. And for a moment, I can almost feel your touch. Oh, so close. Then you turn away. Somewhere stars are falling. Another lover's heart is calling. But in my dreams, you're always calling me. Go ahead, sing that song for me. Go ahead, sing anything at all. Even though each time you do, I fall helplessly in love. Falling hopelessly in love.
Somewhere Stars Are Falling, written by Beth Peterson. That was beautiful. That was so romantic. Such a love song. That'd be a great song for a wedding. Have you ever?
I haven't done it for a wedding, but yeah.
You could.
Come on, somebody get married and I'll sing for you.
Call Beth, wedding singer.
Yeah.
I was thinking while I was hearing both instruments, especially in the part where you were playing the lead guitar and mm-hmm. Betsy was doing what she was doing over there. It's so beautiful. I see why you're kind of exploring
space,
that. Mm-hmm. And just kind of sliding over for a few seconds to, or a few minutes to songwriting. Beth, you've been writing songs for quite a while and you have a whole, like you said.
Well, you know what? I am not much of a songwriter, although Charlie said you're a songwriter now because you've written six songs. So, all of Cindy's in my work, she was the writer, and I would throw in ideas.
That's called collaboration.
Yeah, mm-hmm. collaboration. But she was the poet, and she gets the credit for all those beautiful songs that she wrote.
So the melodies, so she wrote the words, but the melodies kind of you work together.
Some of them, yes.
With rhythm and,
mm-hmm.
and
kind of. It was a collaboration, but.
Mm-hmm. You're a songwriter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You are. It's okay.
You're
a
songwriter.
Okay. All right.
It's
all right.
Agreed in this
a lot
room.
Of pressure. Now I got to write some more.
Well, I'm wondering, so you say you've written a handful of your own on your own mm-hmm. In recent times, we'll say. What has been your experience? Is it hard? Does it just kind of come about all of a sudden? There's a song sitting there. Do you have a...
That has
clues?
Never happened to me.
You work on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I actually did do one song that just sort of happened, and it's a piano song, and it's Lullaby. It's on the Everything Must Change album. So that one just sort of happened. And the rest of them, work on them and let them sit for a while. And that's when Charlie came in and says, okay, come on, let's get together and we'll finish these up. And
well, he's a prolific songwriter.
Oh, he's a very prolific.
And great songs.
Yeah.
It's not
wonderful.
Just a bunch of songs. They're great songs.
Uh-huh.
Another treasure, sample treasure. So do you remember when you sat down at the piano, I guess? I didn't realize you played piano. And this song, the one that just kind of came out, did you have to get out of the way to let it happen? Or were you surprised?
The music came first.
You're just messing around and it sort of happened?
Yeah, it just sort of came. And it. I wrote it not too long after Cindy had passed away. And so that, I guess that pain inspired the song.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a painful song. It's a,
A lullaby.
It's a lullaby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just curious about songwriting because it seems like there's some commonalities that people share and then each person has their own individual, but the end result is a song. Mm-hmm. Where did it come from? Yeah. I always wonder, have you ever wondered that?
Yeah, well, I remember when I don't think we're going to do that one tonight, but Black Oak is a song I wrote, and I started writing it when I was at the Kate Wolf Festival, and I was driving back to Willits to the motel, and the moon was out, and so lyrics started coming to me, and so I would scribble them, you know, and
on a
pad of paper as I was driving.
Oh, good.
Anyway, so that was the beginning of that one, but then it took a lot of work to finish it up. But
And now songwriters have their smartphones, and they just press record, and they start talking to themselves and putting down ideas,
and nothing gets lost.
Have you ever had the experience you kind of come up with a sound, maybe a little tune that you think could go somewhere, and you play with it for a while, and you put down your guitar, and you can't go back and find it?
Right.
Has that happened?
Yes, lots.
Yeah. So nowadays, people don't want to lose that. They have tablets of words and smartphones full of lyrics and sounds, and they can just hum it into their smartphone.
So does that mean I need to get a smartphone now?
I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. Just, we have to keep our memory sharp is all I can say.
That's true.
I know we have another bunch of songs. We'd love to hear some more. And I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. This is live and local, and you can hear it each Tuesday night at 7 or at krfy.org as a podcast after the show.
Okay.
So that's okay, Betsy. This is our living room, remember.
Okay, well, here's a song that I wrote for Patrick.
Oh, yes.
Patrick.
Who's in college now.
He's in college now.
Hi, and, Patrick.
I've told this story on stage, but he came 2 months early when he decided to appear on this earth. And so he was tiny, and Cindy called him Hummingbird Boy. And she had written that down. And so I came up with a song for him.
Tell them you found a way.
Hummingbird Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Again.
And that one hasn't been recorded, and Emery's Waltz has not been recorded yet. So that's a project coming up one of these days, I hope.
I know a couple years ago, could have been a couple years ago already, somebody over in Hope found some of the old Beth and Cindy tapes and remastered them into a CD.
Well, what
how did that
I had
work?
The original cross country album on 2-inch reels, 2-inch analog tape, and so Bruce Bishop baked them. That's what you have to do first. You put them in a dehydrator, because we did that album in 1977, and they had survived the fire, and I don't know how they survived, but anyway. So he did that and then transferred them to the computer, and then we remixed and remastered that old album, Cross Country, and that was our first recording effort.
I bet that was really fun to bring it back to life.
It really was, and listening to it as we were recording, because all the tracks were there, and you could hear us all chatting back and forth, and
mm-hmm.
And Pat Ball and John Tull were in that band. And
some of the originals.
The original Stony Fingers.
Stony Fingers.
Yeah.
Whoa. Are you having fun over there, Betsy?
I'm having a blast.
And normally, I mean, I knew you as a guitar player, but I knew that you had taken up, well, you've been playing the auto harp for 20 years, I guess. You still play guitar?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also still learning clawhammer banjo.
Oh, cool. Another cool instrument.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that's a little bit more in the old-timey kind of realm.
Yes.
But I like how you've brought the auto harp into this folk realm quite a bit. And so when you go to Sorrento, by the way, Sorrento is a stringed music camp up in Canada that a lot of folks go to in the summer. What do you take up? What do you study?
The first year I went, I took advanced rhythm guitar for bluegrass. The second and third year I went, I took clawhammer banjo. And then this last year I took clawhammer as well.
So kind of moving in that direction?
Yeah.
It's a cool, really neat instrument, isn't it?
It is. It's very difficult because the right hand picking is really, really, really different from guitar. So I have 50 years of memory
mm-hmm.
that I need to overcome when I take up the clawhammer, because it's such a different style of playing.
You make your fingers into a claw and you just kind of like hit on the strings?
You basically hit the strings with the back of your fingernail mm-hmm. rather than plucking them.
So it's a downstroke
yeah.
rather than a pluck
exactly.
out. Well, next time you come in, you have to bring a clawhammer banjo with you.
I need to practice.
Okay. Well, that's the fun part again, like we said. Another song, I think we have.
Sure.
About another 20, 15, 18 minutes.
Well, this is an example of a collaboration. Cindy wrote this song. But I told her, she has at the bottom of this, written about and for Beth's two big brothers. And so I told her the story of my brothers, and she knew them both. And then she wrote this very cool song.
Nice.
Two big brothers, how lucky can one girl be? Two big brothers, climbing up the family tree. They grew up digging strong, and I grew up begging just to tag along. One went to college, the other went away to the war. Standing, staring at the kitchen door of a little farmhouse somewhere on the edge of town, with the sagebrush and the sand blowing all around. same. Sometimes I let my thoughts take me back again to Christmas ponies and rides in the rodeo, to ukuleles and television shows. Still, every now and then I slip away and go riding with my brother up in the Horse Heaven Hills. Truth be known, I was riding there today.
Brothers, mm-hmm. How sweet is that? That is a really sweet song.
Yeah.
You mentioned in the song, or in the song it was mentioned, your mother was a musician and your father was a poet.
Well, he used to recite Shakespeare.
Oh, sweet.
And he did write some poetry.
Uh-huh.
And my mom, when she was a girl, she sang in a trio and played piano and taught me piano when I was very young.
So that's where you probably, well, got some of your beautiful voice.
Well, it came from somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, a lot of times it is genetic because of the vocal quality of the vocal mechanism is mm-hmm. similar. And that's why you'll see like the Shook Twins.
Mm-hmm.
And they have that amazing ability to harmonize because their voices are so close.
Yeah.
And they can play around quite a bit. So that's really nice. What do we want to do?
I think Betsy, if we have time for two more songs, mm-hmm. Betsy's going to play a song she wrote for the auto harp.
Nice.
I was actually thinking of doing something else.
But you wrote it?
I mean, I didn't, but I can do what I wrote.
Okay.
Do that. This is a song that I wrote for a friend of mine. It's called Mary's Song.
And can you tell us a little bit about how it came about? Just a little history-ish.
Mary lived in northern Mississippi on a beautiful old spread with several different small stone houses. And a friend of mine and I rented a house from her. And she had swans on the lake, and it was quite a bucolic atmosphere. This was when I lived in Memphis, or worked in Memphis, and then lived just across the state line in Mississippi. So I wrote this for her.
happy little sound, or a big sound, really.
The unfortunate thing about the auto harp is there are no small mistakes.
We didn't hear any. Was Mary a happy person, like that sound?
She was a very happy person. She was very mellow, very happy.
Yeah. Well, has she ever heard it? Or?
Actually, no. Unfortunately, she passed away before I wrote it.
Well, she's probably hearing it somewhere. Thank you for that. That was a original by Betsy Hammett on the auto harp. And which auto harp was that again?
That was my diatonic G and D auto harp.
Diatonic G and D auto harp.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. And it sounds like we have another song.
We do.
Okay.
Do we have time?
We do have time.
All right.
We're going to go out with a recorded song of Wild Roses, but we want to hear a live song here in the studios of KRFY with Beth Peterson and Betsy Hammett.
Okay.
This is called
Reverie.
Reverie.
Thank you.
That was a stunner.
Thank you.
You know, one of the nice things about Live and Local, and that was called Reverie.
Yes.
And written by Beth Peterson.
And Charlie Packer.
And Charlie again. Thank you, Charlie.
Yes.
Beautiful words, beautiful melody. And Betsy, nice coming in on the harmony.
Thank you.
That was really cool. One of the things that's really nice about this show, it's kind of an invitational open mic, I call it. And we're hearing something that has maybe never, ever been heard before. It's right here, right now. So that's what live music is all about. And certainly appreciate both of you coming in.
Our pleasure. It was great. Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And just want to remind our listeners that you can rehear this or tell your friends, and they can listen to this wonderful show called Live and Local with Beth Peterson and Betsy Hammett by going to krfy.org. And it will be up probably tomorrow sometime when I get Chris Bessler to put it on our website. And thanks for tuning in tonight to the Live and Local show. And join me again next Tuesday night at 7 for another Live and Local. Up next, we're going to have Jack Peterson with Norwestern. He's renamed his show Norwestern, Regional and Local Musicians. And we're going to go out here in just a moment with Wild Roses, Beth and Cindy, Idaho, which is a beautiful song that was written. Was it ever picked up by, you know, Idaho?
No, and Cindy used to introduce it, Idaho's national anthem.
It is.
And actually, she sent it to, there was a contest at the 10-year centennial or something like that, and but she didn't win it, but it was okay.
Well, we're going to go out with that song, and right after the top of the hour, we're going to hear a Charlie Packard song called Teardrops in the Rain.
Nice.
Another nice, beautiful songwriter in our area. So have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much, Beth Peterson and Betsy Hammett. This is Wild Roses, Beth and Cindy, Idaho.
Sunlight shining on the mountains. That's how you got your name. Moonlight dancing across your river.